We saw last week when we were learning B'Shalach, it was Daf Pei Beis, and on Daf Pei Beis, the Gemara says that there was a takana from Moshe Rabbeinu that, because it says in Parshas B'Shalach, Vayelchu Shloshet Yom V'lo Matzu Mayim, they went 3 days without water, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakein, they should never go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah, and that's why there's a Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday on Shabbos. And that way, the longest we ever go is from Monday till Thursday. You have Tuesday, Wednesday in between. You never go 3 days in a row without a Kriyas HaTorah. The context of the Gemara really is that the Gemara is listing Takanos of Ezra. And the Gemara says that Ezra is Masakein, that we should have a Kriyas HaTorah Monday, things. Thursday. Right, ten things. First, 10 Takanos from Yeshua, and then 10 Takanos of Ezra. And in the Takanos of Ezra, it says that he was Masakein Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday. And the Gemara asks, Ezra's Takanos, isn't it Moshe Rabbeinu's Takanos? Tachsiv, Vayel Choshlish Yom, Vayel Matsu Mayim, in Mayim Al HaTorah. So then the Gemara explains that really there was a role for both. Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakein Kriyas HaTorah, but he wasn't Masakein with the Aliyahs. He just said that you have to have a Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday and on Shabbos, but he didn't say how many Aliyahs. And Ezra came and he was Masakein a minimum of 3 Aliyahs on Monday and Thursday. So there was a role for each one. There's a halacha that, there's an interesting halacha that the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Chav Gimel that takes a lot of people by surprise nowadays. The Gemara over there says that katan oivel minyan shiva, that the 7 aliyahs that we have on Shabbos, you're allowed to give an aliyah to a katan. Nowadays, we're not nagging, so maybe a little bit later in the shir, we'll talk about that. You don't find anybody doing it today. But me'ikir adin, katan oivel minyan shiva, medina de Gemara. The Ran writes, but oila means he could get an aliyah of a loy rubam, loy kulam, v'loy rubam. You can't get all of the aliyahs. You can't call up just a bunch of katanim. You could give a katan an aliyah, 2 aliyahs, but he can't get all the aliyahs, and he also can't get rave of the aliyahs. The Shabur brings down, now the Shulchan Aruch brings down this Ran, but the Shulchan Aruch, I think, doesn't have the whole lashon like kulam v'le rubam. I think the Shulchan Aruch just says like kulam. And there are achrenim that klared a shayla, what about rubam? The Shabur brings down that the Prima Gadum was nistapik. Are you allowed to give, you can give an aliyah, let's say on a Shabbos morning, you could get 1 aliyah, 2 aliyahs, meaning to different katanim, 1 aliyah, 2 aliyahs, 3 aliyahs, that's fine. What about 4 or 5 or 6?
Before we go there, I mean, I don't understand this whole b'chlal, it's a threshold question. What's the difference? I mean, if a cotton, Mechitese cotton should be able to get, and if he is okay to get, why not all?
Okay. That's a good question, and I'm gonna go in a different order, but believe me, we're gonna come to that question.
Does it have to do with the Kriyas HaTorah? Maybe
I'm doing it in the wrong order.
Does it have to do with Kriyas HaTorah, or is the bracha, the Birkas HaTorah, that a darais or not, then a cotton if he's not mechuyev, is, you know, there's a machlokes, if I remember correctly,
this is,
right?
But not the brachas on the Kriyas HaTorah.
No,
that would be Drabbanon. Those brachas are Drabbanon, even according to the Shach Zariah that says the Kriyas HaTorah is Dereisa. That means in the morning it's Dereisa. So the Prima Gadim has a tzad that maybe you could give him all of the aliyahs, almost all of this, just not all. You could give it out to the Ketanim up to 6 aliyahs, but there has to be at least one that goes to a Gadol. The Mishabura brings down the Prima Gadim said that, and he rejects that. He says the lashon of the Ran is not like that, and since what kind of halach is that? There should be at least one that goes to a gadol. If the ikur is that they're supposed to go to a gadol, and we're just allowing a little bit to a katan, so the same way we wouldn't allow all of them, we shouldn't allow a rave of them either. Rave is always kakoil. Why would you say that up to 6 could go to a katan? But the truth is that this Sad of the Prima Gadim is finds a makar in a Meiri. He didn't have the Meiri, but the Meiri and the Gemara in Megillah, he actually seems to follow this Shita, because the Hezbollah that he says, and here's why I'm starting with this, because this ties in directly to the Gemara of Akama that we began with. Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakein Kriyas HaTorah, but he, not with a number of aliyahs, just you have to lane Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. Ezra came along and he said 3 aliyahs on Monday and Thursday, 4 aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh, 5 aliyahs on Yom Tov, 6 aliyahs on Yom Kippur, and 7 aliyahs on Shabbos. That's all Takanas Ezra. But one aliyah, that's Takanas Moshe. Zok the Meiri, giving an aliyah to a katan is a kula. It's a dispensation of saying, you know, we'll allow shortcuts. We can allow a shortcut on the Takanas Ezra. We don't allow any shortcuts. We don't allow any cutting corners on the Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than a Takanas Ezra, or for that matter, any other Takanas Chazal. Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level, and therefore any shortcuts or coolest dispensations that we're going to throw in, we're only going to allow on what was added by the Takanas Ezra, but not on the Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking one aliyah. So one aliyah has to be done right. Right means with a gadol, a bar Yisrael, somebody who's a bar mitzvah, and then whatever we're doing extra, that's just Takanas Ezra, that's considered extra, so there's room to cut corners, and that's why Chazal made their kula, they cut an oil of shiva. So that's the pshat in, again, the Prima Gadim has this side, the Meiri says it straight out, that the kula is only allowed in Takanas Ezra, not in Takanas Moshe. That's a reason to say, it should follow if he said that up to six aliyahs maybe could go to a katan, but now we'll say that. Right.
One should be low. Is Takanas Moshe the same halacha as Moshe Mesinai? Same category?
No. No, but it's not halacha Moshe Mesinai. Halacha Moshe Mesinai means that Moshe Rabbeinu heard it from Hashem. Takanas Moshe means that he made it up himself. But that's what's so surprising about this Meiri. What we're hearing in this Meiri is that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was making it up himself, meaning he was doing this not with his Navi hat, you know, as the one that went up to Har Sinai and learned with Hashem and gave us the Torah, the Nisein HaTorah, that's one of his hats. He's not Misakin Kriyas HaTorah with that hat. He's Misakin Kriyas HaTorah wearing the hat of a Chacham, of a Rosh Beis Din. Like any Beis Din, there's a Rosh Beis Din who can make Takanais. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gadol Hadar, and in his time he was able to make Takanais. But the Meiri is telling us that even when he's wearing that hat, it's a bigger hat than any other Rosh Beis Din. It's still a special category. Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana is a higher level than anyone else's Takana. Mm. This Reb Zelig Epstein in his Sefer Mitzvah Shiurim talked about this idea. I don't think he brought, as far as I know, I don't think he brought in this Meiri, but he was Medayik from Lashonus and the Rambam that Moshe Rabbeinu, even when he's doing the same things that other Chachamim are doing, it's not treated the same way. What do I mean the same thing? So there's two kinds of things. There's Takanas of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's also drushes with the Yigim Amidais. It's Mefurish in the Rambam that Moshe Rabbeinu darshan the Yigim Amidais. Meaning, besides the halachas of Moshe Mesinai, things that he was told by Hashem, he went up to Har Sinai and Hashem told him, you know, the Pri Eitz Hadar means an asterisk. That he didn't have to figure out. He was told by Hashem. But then there are things that, you know, he was given, you know, Yigim Amidais, Shatan, Jesvam, Kavacham, Gzer Shava, and he darshan them and Kalaprat, etc., and he learned halachas from there. Those halachas are on a higher level than halachas that any other base in darshans with their koyach of the Gemara Midas. For example, there's a halacha, the Rambam writes, that one base din could override a drasha of a different base din, even of an earlier base din. Drasha with the Gemara Midas, every base din and each der is supposed to use their best judgment. Zelig was medayik, it's not explicit anywhere, but he was medayik from the Rambam and Hilchas Mamrim, that's only true after Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's say in the times of Shmuel, could uproot what was decided by Beis in the times of Yeshua and Pinchas. But nobody could uproot what was decided by the Beis of Moshe Rabbeinu. And similarly with the Takanais, we find, where would there be an afkamina? We find halachis and Takanais, that even though Chazal of the Kaich make Takanais, but there are limitations on their rights. Chazal can only make a takana if it's almost like there's a checks and balances. That Chazal can make a takana, but if it's not nispashit b'chol Yisrael, it becomes batal. Reb Zelig said that it seemed to him from the Rambam here, I think the diak was from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that's only true from any basin after Moshe Rabbeinu. But a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no checks and balances. It's obligatory, and if Klal Yisrael doesn't like it, well, they'll have to come to like it, because Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu is non-negotiable. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed. It's an Agarat Gemara, and in this Agarat Gemara it says, how Moshe was a great ruler, a Melech Basar V'dam is Geizig Gezeris U'Masakin Takanos, and suffik whether they'll be miskayim, suffik whether they won't be miskayim, and even if they're miskayim, but they're only miskayim during his lifetime, and after he dies, he's powerless to enforce anything. That he's geizik zeris and misakin takanais, and all of his words are chayim mekayamim la'ar la'olmi elamim. It's the lashon of the Gemara in Shabbos. Now, partially you might read the Gemara and say, oh, it means because he gave the Torah, he brought us the Torah, and the Torah is forever. But the lashon of the Gemara is geizik zeris and misakin takanais. So Rav Zelig made this diuk that even though we're talking about takanis of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a din that it's la'ar la'olmi elamim. Because there's no checks and balances on the Takan of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's another Gemara, a Gemara in Chulin. This is not an Agarta. I mean, it's in the middle of a very intense, complicated sugya of halacha. But there's a line that, you know, is just conversational between two Amirayim. There was they were discussing. They're sort of discussing a complex halacha with Tumantara. If you have a skin of an animal and there's a little bit of basar, or is there Tumas Nevela? Is there not Tumas Nevela? And somebody said over something in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. And then I don't remember who the other Amira was that got up and said, nah, I can't believe that. And he said, well, Rabbi Yechanan told it to me. And he said back, maybe it was Rabbi Nachman, I'm not sure, that said back, I don't care if Yeshua ben Nun told it to you. I wouldn't be makabel such a halacha. But you say Rabbi Yechon said it to me, but I to me it doesn't make sense. So I say even if Yeshua ben Nun had said it. So Mefarshim are aiming on the fact that, you know, he wants to, obviously, you know, he's just talking, you know, it's like rhetoric. He's saying, I don't care who says it, but the dogma that he used was Yeshua ben Nun. Couldn't he go up a level? Couldn't he say, if he just means to say, I don't care who said it, so say Moshe Rabbeinu. That you're not allowed to say. That if Moshe Rabbeinu had said it, even if you think it's absolutely wrong, you have to be mekabel. That's like that halacha that any Beis Din could override any other Beis Din's drasha with the Gemara Midos, but not if it was a Beis Din Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Then nobody could override it. You can, the something that Moshe Rabbeinu said is binding no matter who you are, no matter what you think.
What's an example?
So,
isn't it
the Kriya Sotera? That's as we're talking about.
So isn't it talking about only if the person is godly manner
that you can? No, the Rambam holds that that's true for Gezeris and Takanais, but drushes with Digal Mimidis, you don't even need godly manner. I think, if I remember correctly, the Rambam and Hilchas Mamrim makes that distinction. So you have these in these two areas, both Lagabi drushes with the Yomimidates and the Gaiwe Takanais, we find Makiris in Gemara to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level and his rules follow different rules, his laws follow different rules. Ah, very good, right. Moshe Emes was Sarasa Emes.
Like his, the
Kama
from Moshe, obviously it's not his Torah, but it's his level of Torah.
It's on a different level. It's a Torah's Moshe.
Is it the same as
Halacha Moshe Mesinai? No, Halacha Moshe means that he heard it from the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So that for sure, no one could argue that everyone agrees. That goes without saying because that comes from Hashem. What comes from Hashem obviously is non-negotiable. Halacha Moshe Mesinai comes from Hashem. The chiddush that we're learning is that even the things that Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, not that I heard this from Hashem, I'm just teaching it to you. I'm a rabbi and I can teach it like any other rabbi. But even so, no, he's on a higher level than any other rabbi. So this Meiri, I think, is a very gishmak of Maramakoim, lagabi this discussion. The Meiri says, katan oil l'minyan shiva, you could give katanam aliyas and shul, but only up to 6 aliyas. You can't give them all 7 aliyas, because one aliyah, that's the way to takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is takana, we don't cut corners. That we treat with greater respect. Additional aliyas, that's Takanas Ezra. So and that's really Takanas Chachamim. And there, if Chazal want to make coolest, they can make coolest. But on Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, that's on a higher level.
Takanas Moshe was just Sheni Chamishi or Shabbos also?
Shabbos also. Because it has, because otherwise there's 3 days. Okay. It has to be Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday.
That's not okay.
What?
Only a Gadol can have an aliyah.
No.
Really?
No.
How come we're not knowing like that?
So we'll come to that. We talked about it a little bit before he came in, but there's a maisa about this that is a very nice Tosafot. There's a Yid about 100 years ago. He was a Rav in a city in Poland. He's not a well-known Yid. His name was Rav Nachman Shmuel Yaakov, I think. It's not such a catchy name. He was a Rav in the city of Brock. He wrote a Sefer. He was an Einikol of Rabbeinus and Eibshitz. So he had some Ksavim of Rabbeinus and Eibshitz, and he put out those Ksavim together with a Sefer of his own. I guess, you know, he thought that maybe it'll sell some copies if he has Rabbeinus and Eibshitz's name inside of it. So he had a little bit of Torah from Rabbeinus and Eibshitz called Amudei Yohinasan, which was a few pages, and then the rest of the Sefer, maybe 100 pages, was his own Torah, Amudei Shmuel. Again, you know, he's not a very I'm sure he was a Chashev Rav. He was a Rav of a city in Poland 100 years ago, but not a world-famous person. But what he's famous for is the following. He had this Sefer, Amudei Shmuel. It's a Sefer of, like, Pulpulim on the Parsha. Like, he has, you know, he has, it's on Chumash, it's Divriter on the Parsha, but, like, being Mefalpel with Sugyas that interact with Inyanim in the Parsha, and all very much al derech pilpul. He got haskamas on his sefer. He has a lot of haskamas from Chasheva Rabbanim. One of the haskamas that he has is from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker. He has a haskama from him on his sefer. He brought the sefer to Reb Chaim, said, you know, could you give me a haskama on my sefer? Reb Chaim said, let me take a look at it. And he opened up to the first shtickel, which was on Bereishis. And he said, Reb Chaim says, very nice sefer. The problem is, but there's kfira inside. He said, what do you mean there's kfira inside? He said, I'll write you a haskama, but you have to take out the piece on Bereishis. So, Lamaisa,
Kfira.
Oh. Well, what he wrote was
kfira.
Right.
Yeah. So now, Lamaisa, he didn't take out the piece because he said he got the haskama and then intending to take out the piece, but then when he went to Varsha, which is where it was being printed, he saw he was too late. It was already all printed. So he said that I'm writing here, so on the bottom of the page, under Reb Chaim's haskama, he writes, I'm going to tell you over about Peh, what Reb Chaim told me. He said, I wrote in that shtickle that there's, you know, there's a famous Medrash Rashi brings down about Moshe and Bezalel, the Bezalel. Moshe said to make the Arayin and then the Mishkan, and Bezalel went and made the Mishkan and then the Arayin. And Rashi Chumash brings us down that the Hashem, Moshe says to him, I see Bezalel kel ha'isa. But there's a lot of talk about what was the Mas Umatam between the two of them. So he had a Shtikl Torah. In Bereishis, there's a Machlekes in the Medrash about whether Shemayim va'aretz nivru tchila or ha'ar nivru tchila. If you look at the Pesukim in Bereishis, the first thing that it tells you was created was ar, v'yemer likim yihi ar. But that's in Pasuk Beis. That's actually in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Aleph already talks about Shemayim and Aretz. So how do you put that together? So the Machlekes in the Medrash, at the beginning of Bereishis Rabbah, there's a man to Omar that ha'ar nivru tchila, and there's a man to Omar Shemayim nivru tchila. So he had some Shtikl Torah that the Machlekes, Moshe and Bezalel was totally on this Machlekes in the Medrash about which one was Nivra Tchila. So he said, I brought this to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim said that if you say that there's a Machlekes in Chazal, which is Machlekes, Moshe and Bezalel, so that means that you're saying that one of the opinions is outside of Torah, because Torah is Torah's Moshe. So if Moshe had a Machlekes with somebody, then the other side is wrong and is not part of Torah, because our Torah is Torah's Moshe. So you can't take a Machlekes and Chazal and say that it was Machlekes, okay, Moshe and anyone. You know, this kind of pilpul, again, this is a pilpul dika sefer, and he has a lot of rage, like, and there's other svarim that like to take things in Chumash, and we've even said over stuff like this over the years, you know, here in this Chabura, let's say, you know, I think it's, I'm not sure if I can think of a good example that we've had.
Everybody
interrupts us with a second. You know, but I mean, like pilpul dik, like, let's say, like, we talked about how Noyach and the other people in the Dur were about whether there's a gazela on Pachas B'Shava Pruta. You know, Yaakov and Rachel were in their debate, were arguing, this raid about how they're arguing about
marrying two sisters.
the debate between Yaakov and Rachel was really totally on Kinyan Peris ke Kinyan Aguf. Pulpulim like that. Okay, so it's not Reb Chaim's style, these types of pulpulim, but you want to say, you can say whatever you want. Yaakov and Rachel can be Machlekes, Reichen or Shlokesh, fine. But Moshe and anyone else, Moshe and Bezalel, you can't take a Machlekes and Chazal and say that it's a Machlekes Moshe and Bezalel, because our Torah is Torah's Moshe. So you can't take part of it and put it outside of Moshe.
Over here, Bezalel is right.
He justified.
Okay, Befrat, right, over here. Okay, but this, I had shown in the Maral, it wasn't really right. It was not that Moshe was wrong and Bezalel was right. The Maral already talks about how it was two perspectives and they're both right in different ways. But okay, that's in common kind of. But you're right, Bezalel does have the last word over there.
Moshe Rabbeinu justified it. He described him as being the person
Bezalel
that knows.
Right, and a Hanami. So he says that when I was having this conversation with Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim said, you can't say that. I told him, but you know, I found a similar shtickle in the Panim Yafis. Panim Yafis is the Hafla. The Hafla, that's one of the G'dayli Achreinim that is, you know, accepted in Kol Tfutzes Yisrael as being a very, very Chashav Achrein. And his Sefer on Chumash is the Panim Yafis. And he said, I said to Reb Chaim, the Panim Yafis is a very similar thing. Not the same Vart that Moshe Mitzal will argue about whether Shemayim V'Arez Nivru Tchila or Ar Nivru Tchila. That's a machlekes in the Medrash Rabbah. But there's a machlekes in the Gemara in Chagiga, B'Shamei Mishilel, whether Shemayim Nivru Tchila or Arez Nivru Tchila. And the Panim Yafis, that's the flaw, he learns that Moshe and Bezalel's machlekes was this machlekes B'Shamei Mishilel. She said, I said to Reb Chaim, that's even worse than what I said. If there is taka such an Aveira, so he did it worse. Reb Chaim was unimpressed. He said, but it is an Aveira, and you can't say it. In other words, anachanami, and I'm criticizing that flaw also, but you can't say that. So then he writes that, I came to Varsha, I said, I wanted to tell the prince to take it out, but it was too late, it was already in, so I'm writing over here what Reb Chaim told me, which, by the way, it's much more geshmak. If he would have just taken it out, we would never have this Torah from Reb Chaim. But like this, it's much better. We have the story. But Reb Chaim, it's this story from Reb Zelig, that the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. And even when Moshe Rabbeinu was not acting as a conduit to convey what he heard from the Rabbeinu Shlalom, even when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying his own Torah, but still, that's our Torah. There's no arguing, there's no second guessing, there's no checks and balances on the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so with the Galen Yenenu here is that one very interesting nafkamina from this comes by Kriyas HaTorah. Again, according to this Meiri, that the reason, yes, cut an aluminum yeshiva, but not for all seven, because then you're chepering with the Tikkanos Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so now let's address what you were asking about before, both of you, that, okay, well, what's takap shot in this halacha? A katan is oila, why is a katan on the minyan shiva? Ordinarily, katan can't represent the tzibur for anything. Katan can't say birkas a muzzin for others, katan can't be peris al shema, or arbil afnei ateva. Why is he allowed to get an aliyah? So the rush is in Mesechus Brachas, not in Mesechus Megillah. The Gemara is in Megillah, but the rush in Mesechus Brachas addresses this Gemara in Megillah. And he says, because Kriyas HaTorah, the mitzvah is to hear the Torah. It's not a mitzvah to lean the Torah. Meaning, as opposed to Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah, even though they look the same to us, right? There's one person at the Bima, and he's reading out loud, and everyone else is listening. But by Mikra Megillah, everyone else who's listening is being yaitu with Shemeya Ka'ineh. Because by listening is like saying, it's like he's my shliach, he's doing it for me, and I'm allowing his ma'isa to work for me also. But by Kriyas HaTorah, the Rosh says, you don't need that. You don't need him to be ma'itzi you. The mitzvah is just to hear. So as long as the words of Torah are audible in the Beit HaKnesses, so everyone's doing the mitzvah for himself. The mitzvah is just to hear, so it doesn't really matter who's doing the reading. That's why Katan Oyel Minyan Shiva. So this Rosh is addressing a chakira that Achrayim talk about. The Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses this Shaila, is Kriyas HaTorah mitzvahs Kriya, like Mikra Megillah, or is it just a mitzvah Shmiya? Rabbi Yosef Engel brings the Lashon of the Rambam on the Gemara that we started with, the Gemara in Baba Kama, where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana not to go 3 days without what? So the way I would say it over is 3 days, you don't go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. When the Rambam brings down the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, he says he was mistaken, not to go 3 days without Shmiya Satayra. Shmiya Satayra, that's what he calls it. The Reza Vengel says, because clearly he held like this rush, that what we call Kriya Satayra is really a Shmiya Satayra. That's the mitzvah. By contrast, he brings a Taisvis. He has a very nice diag in a Taisvis. The Taisvis argues and holds that the mitzvah is Kriya. The Taisvis is talking about Rav Sheshes. The Gemara in a couple of places says over a naughty practice from Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes would ignore Kriya Satayra. They were laying in Kriya Satayra. He would turn his back and learn. He learned his sugya, whatever sugya he was up to. He was learning Bava Kama or Kedushin. When they were laning Kriya Satayra, he ignored Kriya Satayra and he was sitting and learning. So Tosfos asks, how could he do that? Tosfos asks from a Gemara elsewhere where it says that you're not allowed to learn during Kriya Satayra. Here, Rav Sheshes was learning during Kriya Satayra. The Gemara even says that Rav Sheshes had almost like a defiant tone. Rav Sheshes would say, in hu bedit hu ba'anan bedidon. They're doing their thing and we're doing our thing. Like, almost like he was boycotting, like you know, with a defiance. Mm-hmm. So Tosfos says, I'll tell you what's going on. You're missing one piece of information that you need to make the whole story make sense. Rav Sheshes was a Sagi Nahar. He was blind. The Gemara tells us in a few places, including in Ari Pesachim, the Gemara says that Rav Sheshes was blind. So Zok Tosfos, if he was blind, so he's potter from Kriya Satayra. So that's why he wasn't participating. Everybody else was participating in Kriya Satayra. But Rav Sheshes is potter from Kriya Satayra. So he was learning. And he said, Inu b'didu, let them do their mitzvah, and I'm going to do my mitzvah.
He's potter from learning too?
So Tosfos says, no, he's not potter from learning, but he's potter from Kriya Satayra. So you're being a very good question. What makes him potter? Mm-hmm. Tosfos just says, oh, he's blind, so he's potter from Kriya Satayra. And he doesn't mean because a blind person is potter from the mitzvahs. No, a blind person, even though there is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. In Daf Yomi, right, that's all HaChayvel Sugis.
Right.
But we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda.
It's like Rabbi Boishes and like Rabbi specifically.
No. It starts with Boishes, but then the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Asuma is part of the Kol HaMitzvahs. But then if you remember, I think that might be one of the places where it says that Rav Sheshes was a Sagi Nahar. I think maybe it was Rav Sheshes that says, I'm not sure, or maybe Rav Yaitzev. Those are the two famous blind Amirayim, Rav Yaitzev and Rav Sheshes. And one of them says in that Gemara that you're referring to, that if we were Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, I would make a Yom Tov L'Rabbanan, I would make a banquet, because I would get more credit that I do the mitzvahs even though I'm Potter. And then on second thought, he said, no. If we would Paskin not like Rabbi Yehuda, I'll make a banquet, because right. That means I'm a Mitzvah V'Oisa. L'mayis, we Paskin not like Rabbi Yehuda. We Paskin that Asuma is Chayev in all of the mitzvahs. And it's Chayev in Talmud Torah. But nevertheless, Tosfos holds that he's potter from Kriya Satayra. So why is he potter from Kriya Satayra? Where did Tosfos get this from, that Asuma is potter from Kriya Satayra? So Dr. Yosef Engel, it's clear, because of the mitzvah of Kriya, the mitzvah is to read it, so a blind person just can't do it. Mm. You can't do it, so you're potter. But limud ha-Torah, that includes Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is no mitzvah to read anything. Torah Shebal Peh is to think about Torah, to hear Torah, to learn Torah, to talk about Torah. That you don't need your eyes for. But Kriya, you need your eyes for. So Dr. Yosef Engel, I hear in this Tosfos that Tosfos holds that the mitzvah is a mitzvah Kriya, that the takana, the minog, whatever you want to call it, the practice of Kriya Satayra is a mitzvah of Kriya, while the Rambam and the Rosh, they are saying that it's a mitzvah of Shmiya. Leaves us a little bit wondering, the Rosh who says that the reason why a katan is allowed to do it is because it's just a mitzvah of Shmiya, so it doesn't really matter who does it. Meaning everyone in shul will hear the words of Torah, even if the person that's reading it is not a bar chiyuva, but that's fine. Everybody's going to hear it just as well, as long as he knows how to read. So he'll hear it. So does it follow then that you could have a tape recorder doing it? Or?
It doesn't mean that whoever got the aliyah learned.
That's right. Right. We're talking over here, when we talk, say katan oidel min yeshiva, we're talking about kriyas ha-Torah. And the katan is laning. Back in the day, in the times of Chazal, you called somebody up to the Torah, he made the bracha, and he read from the Torah. The Rosh is saying that we can have a katan reading because you don't need a bar chiyuva, because you don't need him to be mitzi you, it's a mitzvah shmiya. So as long as he knows how to read, so people will hear it, and they're doing their own mitzvah by hearing it. So if you have an iPod that's doing the Kriya Satayra, and now everyone's hearing the Kriya Satayra, so that should also be good enough.
According.
So, okay, so maybe, yeah, it doesn't say anywhere in the Rambam that you can't have an iPod do Kriya Satayra, but it seems a little bit unlikely, right? That would be a very surprising Chiddush.
They don't say the same thing about the Kriya Shoker.
Ah, very good. So this question really gets us, it's most discussed. Right, this discussion really comes up by Tekiah Shefer. Because right, Rosh Hashanah, we've had a shiur on this topic because by Tekiah Shefer, there's a machlekes Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says that the mitzvah is that the bracha at least is al Tekiah Shefer, but the Rambam says that it's l'shmaya kol Shefer, and that's how we pass, and we're knowing that the bracha is l'shmaya kol Shefer. The Rambam also says for that reason that if you use a stolen Shefer, there's no problem mitzvah baba aveir because ein gezel b'koil. In other words, you're not doing a mitzvah with the shefer. The shefer is just what you use to produce the koil. But the real chesed shel mitzvah is the koil itself, and ein gezel b'koil. So the Rambam holds that the mitzvah is shmiya. So the Shagas Aryeh asks on the Rambam, it's famous Shagas Aryeh, the Shagas Aryeh asks on the Rambam, but over here we have a mission that says the cheri shayt of a katan are pasol, and we all understand, because the cheri shayt of a katan can't be mitzi as a rabbi v'deche v'asam. But if the Rambam is telling me that the mitzvah is shmiya, not tekiah, so I don't need anyone to be mitzimiyah. As long as he produces a sound, so I'm doing the mitzvah myself. I'm hearing the sound. Everyone's doing the mitzvah for themselves. So why can't you have a cheresh ha'tavakatam do the blowing? Who cares who's doing the blowing?
So the achrein... The reiser, maybe?
Okay. But the Shagas Aryeh still felt that if the mitzvah deraisa was just to hear, why should there be a problem with the cheresh ha'tavakatam doing the... producing the sound. So the raid over there, the Chazaynish and others, a number of Achrayim say, each one may be a little bit of a different nusach, but the idea that a number of Achrayim say over there is that even though the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, but you have to hear a koil shel mitzvah, a koil that was produced for the purpose of mitzvah shofar. And that means it has to come from a bar chiyuva. Similar to the idea, the way you could think of it is, you know, you put on tefillin, the mitzvah, of course, is to put it on, but the tefillin, there are rules that go into the production of the tefillin. It has to be made by a bar chiyuva. Otherwise, if you can't have a goy making your tefillin, you can't even have an isha making your tefillin. So the tefillin has to be made, the chefza shal mitzvah needs to be made by a bar chiyuva, even though the maisa mitzvah is just what I do in the morning with the tefillin that are already made, but you still need the tefillin to be manufactured by a bar chiyuva. So in a similar way, the koil shofar, I'm doing the mitzvah with the shmiya. The koil is just the chefza shal mitzvah. But still, the chefza shal mitzvah has to be produced by a bar chiyuva. So, okay, so if that's true, so yeah, now come back to Kriyas HaTorah. How did the Rosh explain it? That we were bothered, why is a katan oil minyan shiva? Katan is not a bar chiyuva. And he said, well, because it's just a mitzvah shmiya. It should be made by a bar chiyuva. So it could be that maybe we have to add a detail over here. There's a very interesting Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam starts off, Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says, that ketanim apatim from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He says, noshim avadim uketanim apaturim from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Aval, katan aviv chayav lalamdei Torah. But a katan, although he's pater on his own, he doesn't have his own independent chiyav, but there is a mitzvah on his father, and the Rambam clearly means a mitzvah deraisa. I mean, this is the opening halach in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and he brings the pasuk. The first halach in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach your children. And that mitzvah is even children that are ketanim. That's the first name. Aval katan, aviv chayav olam de Torah. So there is a mitzvah Talmud Torah involving ketanim. It's not the katan's mitzvah, because he's not old enough to be given responsibilities, but there is a mitzvah on Kal Yisrael to teach Torah even to the ketanim. No other mitzvah, meaning that a katan should wear tzitzis and hear a shofar, that's all chinuch. Chinuch is a tekanah d'rabbanon. The rabbanon were misakin that you should teach your children how to do the mitzvahs. But the Torah was metzaveh, that you have to teach your children Torah. Talmud Torah, there is a Talmud Torah that you write even by ketanim. Not it's not on the katan. Right? The obligation isn't placed on the katan, it's placed on the father. But there is a concept of teira deiraisa, divrei teira being deiraisa, even for a katanim. So when a katan leans from the teira, that we could call a chavsa shal mitzvah. He could produce divrei teira that are called a real chavsa shal mitzvah. Shefer, no. He can't produce a kol shefer that's considered a chavsa shal mitzvah, but he could produce divrei teira that's considered a real chavsa shal mitzvah. So this is the Rush. The Rush, again, the Rush said three words, that the reason why katan oil minyan shiva is because the mitzvah of what we call kriyas haTorah is really a mitzvah shmiya, so, and the katan is able to provide everybody with their shmiya, and we're just adding that even if you need it to be a proper chavsa shal mitzvah, a katan could do that when it comes to divrei Torah. Now we did mention that Tosfos holds that it's a mitzvah kriya, and l'chayr according to Tosfos, you can't give the explanation of the Rosh for why katan is a minyan shiva. So it's a very interesting Chuvas Rivash, who gives a different explanation for this halacha, why katan is a minyan shiva. The Rivash was talking about the details of this halacha. He has a tshuva, the Rivash. He's a Rishon, right? He's a late Rishon. He's a Talmud of the Ran. Late 1300s, if I'm not mistaken, he was Nifter in 1409. So he has a tshuva in which he's talking about the parameters of this halacha of katan oil l'minyan shiva. And in the middle of the tshuva, he says that he thinks the reason why, remember, in the times of Chazal, whoever you called up to the Torah had to read. So it was hard to have seven bali kriya in a minyan. Imagine you had this nowadays. You come to shul, there's a minyan you had this morning. You davened in the shul for shachris, and there's kriyas haTorah this morning. It's Thursday morning. You had a bal kriya, somebody was able to lain. But if you needed to find three bali kriya this morning, there were three aliyahs. If you need to find three bali kriya, so just think back to your minyan this morning. Would there have been three bali kriya? Maybe not. Not necessarily. Shabbos, you need seven bali kriya. It's not so easy. Not everybody knows how to read from the Torah. So, Chazal...
A cotton knows?
So not that a cotton is more likely to know, but Chazal wanted to expand the pool of eligible bali kriya. You know, Chazal wanted to expand the pool so that you're looking around, you know, nowadays the Gabbai says, Kayin, do we have a Kayin in the house? Back then it was, do we have a bal kriya in the house? So if somebody raised his hand, you wanted to be able to call him up. So to make things easier, Chazal almost like cutting out the minyan shiva. It's just a kula. He doesn't give a lumdus, but he gives a reason why Chazal included this kula, just so that you could find more bali kriya.
If it's a cotton, does he have to be a kayan? To get the first aliyah.
To get the first aliyah, yeah.
He's a cotton.
You mean if the only kayan is a cotton, then would he get that aliyah? That's a good shaila. If I'm not mistaken, the Shabur brings down Achrenim to talk about this. I certainly don't remember the bottom line. I don't know. But I know they talk about whether a kohen who's a katan is eligible to do avoda. And then there's a further question of whether he'd be included in the mitzvah of v'chibadatai, which is to give honor to kohanim. If I'm not mistaken, there's a Rabbi Kivager in the discussion. It's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, it's a good shaila. Now I'm gonna bring up a real life shaila. I have a halacha lemaisa that's gonna get very involved in this discussion that we've been having. This is a tshuva in the Igros Moshe. Happened in the late 1930s. Rav Moshe was already in America in the 1930s, and this is a very American shaila. Somebody sent to Rav Moshe, a Rav of a shul sent to Rav Moshe, I have a baal bas and the shul is making a bar mitzvah. Okay, he figured out that his son's bar mitzvah is going to be such and such a week, so he taught his son his bar mitzvah parasha. Now we're holding a couple of weeks before the bar mitzvah, and he realized that he goofed. He's off by a week. It's a little bit hard sometimes to calculate. You know, maybe he figured out whatever it was last year, the week of his birthday, it'll be the same this year. Right, we know that that's not a responsible way to figure out our mitzvah parasha is okay. Nowadays, everybody has access to a calendar that can tell it to him. But it was a little harder then. So the kid prepared the wrong parasha. He spent the whole year working on his parasha. He prepared the wrong parasha, right? Let's say this week is parasha's Yisrael, The kid prepared Parshas Yisrei, but it turns out that his bar mitzvah is really, let's say, Matzah Shabbos, and his bar mitzvah parashas Mishpatim. Shabbos Parshas Yisrei, he's going to be a katan. But can we please let him lean? He wants so badly to lean. So Moshe writes, he starts up like this. The Gemara says, katan aliyah minyan shiva. They're allowed to give a katan an aliyah. Okay, that's a start, get an aliyah, but we need much more than that. We want him to do the Malkaire. So the Magen Avraham says that he'd be out of luck, because the Magen Avraham says that which a katan is oil minyan shiva, even though, yeah, he's allowed to get an aliyah, but not to read, just to make the brachis, not to read. He's not allowed to read from the Torah. So, well, if that's the case, so that would seem to be making an open shot shayla, refer to Magen Avraham, that a katan cannot be the Baal Kaire. The problem is the Prima Gadim, who's a commentary on the Magen Avraham, Prima Gadim says that this is a very shver Magen Avraham. He says, I can't believe the Magen Avraham just said that. That the Gemara says katan oil minyan shiva, but it means just to make the brachis, not to be the Baal Kaire. But this is a Gemara. In the times of the Gemara, the oila was always the Baal Kaire. That's what it meant to be oila. Mm. In fact, they didn't even always make brachis. Mm. If you meant that was a change that happened in the middle of the times of the Amoraim. In the times of the Mishnah, oila didn't even make a bracha. The Mishnah will say, "Hapaseach v'hachosim b'teira mevarchim l'fanau l'achra," which means that the first oila made the bracha v'sheina. The last oila made the bracha achreina, and all oilam in the middle made no brachas at all. And then during the times of the Amirayim, maybe in the stir of Rav, to the beginning of the Amirayim, they made a new tikkun and a chnasim pnei yaitzim that the oila should also make brachas. Every oila makes brachas.
They have to bring mishbeach. So
that was in a later tikkun. But the primary role of an oila was to read. Every oila read his aliyah. And arguably, you know, sometimes he made brachas also. But primarily, when we talk about being oila, it meant to read the Torah. These words, katan oila minyan shiva, that we've been talking about the whole day, is a braisa. It's not just a gemara. It's a braisa, meaning it predated the Amoraim. Meaning it was written in the times that an oila didn't even make a bracha. What did an oila do? Just one thing he read. So how could you say that the words katan oila minyan shiva don't allow him to read? They only allow him to make the bracha, but they don't allow him to read. The idea of the oila not reading was a later takana, which happened during the times of the Ga'inim, meaning in post-Talmudic times. The Ga'inim were masakein that this system of having each oila read his aliyah was leading to some very poor quality kriyas ha-taira, because your average man in shul doesn't know how to read well from the taira. And it's interesting, I guess once upon a time they did. In the times of the Gemara and the Mishnah, it seems that the average man in shul knew how to read from the Torah.
You're saying that knows how to read or not how to read, that means knows how to lane with the shrub?
Right, lane with the nekudais. Yeah. Right. There's no nekudais in the Torah, right? So, one of two things changed. Either that it used to be that people were better educated and everybody or most people knew how to lane, and then later on, most people didn't know how to lane, or maybe it was the midas that changed. That once upon a time, not everybody knew how to lane, but the people that didn't know how to lane said, I can't get an aliyah. I don't know how to lane. Only the most learned people in the shul, would get aliyahs. But then, maybe in the times of the Ga'inim, you had that, the people would come to shul and say, I'm an important person. I give a lot of money to the shul. I want an aliyah. And then he would break his teeth trying to lane. So the Ga'inim realized, well, now that we're giving aliyahs to the less educated people, we have to take away the kriya. So for whatever reason, it changed in the times of the Ga'inim, and then they started this business of a professional Baal Kaire, and he lanes for everybody. But Zakti Prima Gadim, we all know that that's a modern invention. Again, times of the Ga'inim, after the Gemara. But in the times of the Gemara, and certainly in the times of the Tanayim, an oila meant he was laning from the Torah. So how could the Magen Avraham say that although there's a braisa brought down in the Gemara and paskin in Shulchan Aruch that katan oila leminyan shiva, but it can't be the Baal Kaire. Doesn't make any sense. So the Prima Gadim argues on the Magen Avraham, and he says that avad the katan could be the Baal Kaire, and based on this Prima Gadim, this bar mitzvah boy is back in luck. Or at least his father is in luck. The bar mitzvah boy, I don't know if he wanted to or he didn't want to. But we should paskin, he's allowed a lane. Based on the Prima Gadim, he should be allowed a lane. And the Prima Gadim seems to have a very compelling argument. Where Moshe says we're not going to stop the tshuva right here. Because if you have a Magen Avraham that says something that's so shver, you have to figure out what's wrong. The Magen Avraham didn't say something that was just nonsensical. To the Katan Oyla Min Yeshiva doesn't mean to lane. The Magen Avraham knew that in the times of the Gemara, the Oyla laned. So he said, I'll tell you what I think is the Pshat in the Magen Avraham. The Iker Takana of Kriyas HaTorah was that the Tzibur together should be involved in laning. There's a reason why Ezra came along and was masaking multiple aliyas. Mm-hmm. And you know, depending on how great a day it is, even more aliyas. 3 for a regular day, 4 for Rosh Chodesh, 5 for Yom Tov, 6 for Yom Kippur, 7 for Shabbos. The whole idea was bring the tzibur into it. That there should be a variety of kriyas. Many people in the shul involved in the kriyas HaTorah. That was the ikar point of kriyas HaTorah. But then, in the times of the Ga'inim, so like we were speculating before, either because there were fewer people that knew how, or because it was going to lead to fights among the people that didn't know how, that wanted aliyahs. So they said, no, we have to change the system. We have to have a professional Balkeire. So now there's one person leading the whole parsha. But that makes a problem. If the Iker Takana of Kriyas HaTorah was that you should have a lot of people, meaning, or Moshe is being mechadish here, is that the number of aliyahs is not just a shear, how long the Kriyas HaTorah should be. It's more of a description of what it is. It's that I want all these people involved in the Kriya. So then when the Ga'inim said we're just going to have one Balkeire, so didn't that effectively undo the whole purpose of Kriyas HaTorah? How did they maintain the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah if there's only one Balkeire? So Ramesh said, the answer is that Balkeire is becoming the shliach of the Oyla. So that you call up, let's say for Rishon, you call up, Rabbi Aaron HaKoyen. So the shliach is Aaron's, the Balkeire becomes Aaron's shliach. Mm-hmm. And then it's like everyone in shul is hearing from Aaron. And then they call up Yamod Levi, HaLevi. And then the Balkeire becomes Levi's shliach. And then the whole tzibur is, it's like they're hearing from Levi, because shluch ha-shalachim kamaisai. Then they call up Yamod Yisrael for the third aliyah, and Rabbi Yisrael comes up, and the Balkeire becomes Rabbi Yisrael's shliach. And then it's like the whole tzibur is hearing from Rabbi Yisrael, because shluch ha-shalachim kamaisai. So the Iker Takon of Kriyas HaTorah, which is that there should be a variety of Bali Kriya, is Niskayim nowadays through Shlichos. Dr. Moshe, so now, the Pshat in the Magen Avraham, who says that a Katan Oyla Min Yeshiva, but he can't be he can make the Brachos, but he can't be the Balkeire, he doesn't mean because there's a problem in Hilchos Balkeire. Of course a Katan can be a Balkeire, but it's because nowadays a Balkeire has to be a Shliach, and a Katan can't be a Shliach. And that's why he can't be the Balkeire. So when the Prima Gadim says, but don't you know that in the times of the Gemara, yeah, the Magen Avraham had no problem. In the times of the Gemara, the Katan could be Oyla and be the Balkeire, for sure. Because in the times of the Gemara, the Balkeire didn't have to be anyone's Shliach. Each Aliyah was read by a different Balkeire, and the Balkeire was reading for himself. And you heard that Tzibur heard from Aaron, and then from Levi, and then from Yisrael. That's the way it's supposed to be. But nowadays, that we have one Balkeire who has to be the Shliach of Aaron, the Shliach of Levi, and the Shliach of Yisrael. So now a Katan can't do that, because Katan's not a Bar Shlichas. So the Magen Avraham is very mistaber that Katan Oyla, but nowadays, can only make the Brachas. He can't actually do the Kriyas HaTorah. So Moshe says, so that flips the script. Right now, we have to paskin against this poor family, and because I think the Magen Avraham actually is absolutely right. And I paskin that if the kid's real bar mitzvah parashas mishpatim, because he's really his birthday is on Sunday or Monday, and he wants to lane Shabbos parashas Yisrei, he's disqualified. He can't lane. But then, so this is so far it's the geshmak atshuva of Moshe's mechadish. It's big lumdus, and based on that he paskin. The most exciting part of the tshuva is the last two lines. Rav Moshe writes that, therefore, I decided that divrei aprima gadim, actually, just the opposite. Listen to what he said. Divrei aprima gadim temuim, and you can't be semech on it afilu b'shas adchak. Says this is a prima gadim that he's just wrong. So you can't be semech on this prima gadim even b'shas adchak. That's the second to last line of the tshuva. And then the last line is, and if you, the rabbi of the shul, feel that it will be a tsar for the mishpacha, if we don't let the boy lane, then, and you want to rely on the prima godim, ain moichem beyadai. One can't object to that. So what just happened?
Yeah.
He just said you can't be samech on the prima godim afilu b'shasat chag, and then he says, but if it will be a tzar for the mishpach, which l'chayr is a description of a shasat chag, that's what we call shasat chag. So then, if you want to rely on the prima godim, ain moichem beyadai. So this is. What Rav Moshe is saying over here is
Mamash
is
so distinct. Like those last lines.
Okay. How do you make sense of it over here? So I'll tell you what I think is going on. Rav Moshe is saying that there's a difference between a Pesach and a shul rabbi. I'm a Pesach. I go to the Sugya. I learn the Sugya. I have my opinions about what's right and what's wrong. And I hold that this Prima Godim is wrong. And therefore, if it was in my shul, so it was really my call, I would say the Rebbe Mitzvah can't lane. And I wouldn't even be allowed, even if the boy was going to go home crying and the father was going to be cursing me and he's going to say, I'm never going to daven your shul again. And he was my biggest supporter, he was my president. Shasat chak, right? But ein lismech on the prima godim afilu b'shasat chak. That's my opinion. But to you, you're not such a big Tam Chacham, that you have a shita about between the Magen Avraham and the Prima Godim, who's right and who's wrong. All you know is that Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's a fine Tam Chacham, says it's Aser. And the Prima Godim, who's also a fine Tam Chacham, says it's Mutter. So if you want to say, look, it's a Shasat Chach, I'm going to rely on the Prima Godim over Rav Moshe Feinstein, we're both Paiskim. I'm a Paisik and he's a Paisik, and you're a rabbi. So you could tell the people in your shul that I'm going to rely on the Prima Godim today, not Rav Moshe Feinstein. So I could tell you that you have to follow Rav Moshe Feinstein's psak? No, so his lashon was that if you want to rely on the Prima Godim, ein moichen biyadai. Who could object? You're relying on the Prima Godim. I asked against Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, he's a Paisik, but the Prima Godim is a Prima Godim is a, you know, so certainly there's a big enough Paisik that anybody's allowed to rely on the Prima Godim, unless, of course, you hold he's wrong. But you have to be a Bar Hachi to say the Prima Godim is wrong. I could say he's wrong, but you can't say he's wrong. So therefore, you could be Seimach on him and I can't. That's Rav Moshe's Psak. So Lamai said the Bar Mitzvah boy, I assume Lane.
You could say he's wrong, too, because the Magen Avraham says it's, you can't do it.
I don't think we have.
And the Magen Avraham is a Paisik.
Right. No, so if you want to say it's a Machlokes Magen Avraham and Prima Godim, and I'm going to follow the Magen Avraham, you could. But if you're looking for a Kula, again, because Tsar... right, no, Enochanami, you could pick either one of them, but since you're looking to be Mekel, and the Prima Godim is the Mekel, so you could say that I'm going to rely on the Prima Godim. But only somebody who's a Bar Hochi to say the Prima Godim is wrong, he can't rely on him. But you, as a local Orthodox rabbi, you can rely on the Prima Godim.
Wow. That's good. Yeah.
Before.